right. Well, today we are kicking off our missions week, as you have heard. Ironic and maybe sovereign that it happens to be the same time as the Olympics. You guys been watching the Olympics? Right? Curling. You can't miss curling. Ice skating and all that fun stuff. We have all of our flags here around the church building representing the nations. The Olympics are going full tilt right now. But here's the big difference. In missions, the glory doesn't go to the nations. The glory goes to Jesus. And the nations aren't competing against one another. We have a king. We have a glorious Savior who is drawing people from every tribe, tongue, language, nation to himself. And so even as we think about that this week, even as you may be watching the Olympics, just think in your minds, Lord, what would it look like to save people from that country and from that country and from that country? If you've never been with us for one of our missions weeks here at Emmanuel, let's just introduce you to it. We are part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, all right? So let's just break that down a little bit. We're Christians, right? And we follow Jesus. He's our Savior. Every Christian is a missionary, whether it's next door around the local area or whether it's being sent somewhere else. And so we're an alliance of Christians who are missionaries. And we band together to reach people locally and around the world because we believe in a great Savior. A great verse that's great to have on our minds today is from John 3:16. You all could probably recite it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it continues from there. But think of that idea, that God so loved you. He so loved me that he gave the Savior for us. And how many more people need to hear that? Need to understand what it means that God loves them and has a plan for them forever, for eternity, to be with them. So this week is Missions Week, and we kind of think of this week like a missions trip without having to get on an airplane. There's stuff going on all week long. We'll get to that here in just a second. I want to review a couple of things about that. But I want to also point out on the back of your bulletin, there are pictures of two of our international worker families. And we call them that. We don't use the word missionary because we need to be a little more discreet because our international workers are going into places around the world where they can't use the common old titles that would probably get them in trouble. Now, the ones that we have this morning, it's okay, right? You could call them the M word, missionary. But they are international workers. We just kind of throw that blanket name on all of them. Some are going to very creative access countries. That's another term we use. Ones where they can't go under regular, visas and things. So there's creative access to that country. So they're international workers. But you can see on the back, we have the Garcia Maltez family that's going to be with us here the early part of the week. They're right here in the front row. And we are excited to have them with us. If you don't know Oscar and Charlotte, they haven't been to our church before. So this is your first time here at Emmanuel. We want to just like love them and welcome them here this week. They're going to be here through Wednesday night with us. We as Emmanuel Church have adopted all the five families that are ministering down in Montevideo, Uruguay. And they are serving on that team. They're originally from Puerto Rico. So can we hear all the native Spanish speakers in the room? Get a little what from you? A little bit of like, yeah, okay, all right. There's a little bit of noise. We have some Boricuas here. So any Boricuas in the room? Right in the back, okay, all right. So there's some love. And maybe you can greet them in Spanish when you come up here. So they're originally from Puerto Rico, Spanish speakers, and then have been sent to Uruguay. So they serve there. You're going to hear more about their ministry. A little highlight of that this morning, heading into the message that they're going to bring. And then tomorrow night, you're going to get to hear like the full unpacking of the details. What do they do? What is life like? And their specific mission is to work with the seminary there in Uruguay of raising up national workers and leaders to lead their local churches in Uruguay. So that's a really cool mission, because what that means is if they do that long enough, they work themselves out of a job, right? And that's the goal. We don't want to keep missionaries or international workers in places forever. We want to do the work so well that that the people of that country can take over that work completely and carry it on. And so that's what they're trying to do, work themselves out of a job. That's what we all should be doing as believers, investing in others so well that we work ourselves out of a job. Our children's workers are going, hallelujah, right? We should be raising up more so that we can, you know, just deploy more people to do more things. The next couple that's going to be with us, you'll see on the bottom part of the back of that insert, is Scott and Carrie Dressler. And they have served many years in the Holy Lands. You'll hear more about that. And they now are regional directors helping develop teams throughout Europe and the Middle East. And it will be a very interesting perspective that they bring. They're in lots of places. They land in lots of cities. They talk with lots of international workers. And they're going to be able to bring fresh insights as to what's happening in that part of the world and how we can reach the peoples of those cities and nations most effectively. And so there'll be actually lots of time to interact with them. And we've asked Scott to specifically address that, especially on the closing Sunday night. How do you guys, what are you seeing in the world climate? And then how is missions being done most effectively in those places? And so you will not want to miss what Scott has to say to us in that time. In the center of this is our schedule for the week. So please pull this out with me real quickly. I want you to have eyes on this. I want you to put this on your refrigerator with a magnet, you know, kind of holding it up there to be able to see it all week long. Today, of course, we're kicking off things this morning. We have a lunch right after this for anyone who's newer to the church in the last year. If this is your first missions week, we want you to be there if you're able, and we can accommodate you. We'd love to have you there. We have even different food allergy sensitivities and all the kind of stuff that you need. We can take care of you. We want you to be there just to hear more about what is this thing of Alliance Missions, and Oscar and Charlotte are going to share about that. Tonight, we're going to have at 6:30 in evening's time to hear from, guess who? What does it say? The Poormans, who have been over in their country, the Green Mountains, for 5 months. And we have an interview we just recorded with them this week. They can't do live because they're 9 hours ahead of us in time, and it would be like they're sleeping at 4 a.m. or something while we do this. So we recorded this with them. It's fresh from this week, and you're going to hear stories from them and see their faces, and it's going to be a great time. So come out tonight, and afterwards you get ice cream. So, you know, what could be better than that? Tomorrow night we have a dinner for all. If you're coming directly from work or school, just come. And then we have our evening service where we'll get to hear more from Oscar and Charlotte. Tuesday, there are things going on. Tuesday night specifically, let me just point this out to you. We often, here at our church, on the monthly schedule, we have a men's huddle gathering and a women's nourish gathering. There's a way to get men together. There's a way to get women together. We're doing it this month on the same night. Do we have kids ministry during that? Yes, because we figured that would be an obstacle for people. So we got a kids thing going on, but we have a men's gathering and a women's gathering on Tuesday night, and you're going to just get to hear more like what are some things you guys have been through, like real stories. What has God brought you through? And then we can relate, like, yeah, he's bringing me through some stuff too. And we're going to be able to just invite God into that space in those times on Tuesday night. Wednesday, we got more stuff going on, even stuff for the kids and for the youth. Saturday morning, my two favorite words on this entire thing are potluck and brunch. When our staff was talking about this, I was like, wait, what did you just say? Yes, let's do that. Potluck brunch. That means bring breakfast stuff or bring lunch stuff or bring both. And we're just going to have an amazing feast and enjoy time then interviewing Scott Dressler. And then on Sunday, we've got a great day lined up there. As I mentioned, that Sunday evening service, and we got a soda float, like root beer floats and orange soda floats and all kinds of floats you can ever imagine on that night. And that'll close out our week. So we'd love to have you come. Anything that involves food, by the way, please register for it. We just need to know that we're not like expecting 25 and we get 100. You know, we don't want to be in that situation. So please go online and you can find the signups for these things. It's a simple click of all the ones you plan to attend and then submit. It'll help us just to gauge who's coming on those times. But one last note. Actually, it's two notes. One of the things that is important to us this week is that we get behind what God is doing in our world. We have five verbs that we use for how we can be involved. And the first one is love. To love our international workers, love Jesus, love, like have our hearts expanded for what God is doing. Second is pray. We want this week for you to be mobilized to pray. You're going to have prayer cards available in the back for Oscar and Charlotte. We have other international worker prayer cards. We want you to take those and begin just praying for them on a regular basis. They even will probably have a newsletter sign up. Do you guys have that as well? You can get that when they send it out. You'll see fresh prayer requests that come from them. The next verb is give. We want you to be a church that gives. We are a church that gives. We want you to get on board with that if you aren't already. And if you are giving, maybe even just ask the Lord the question again, Lord, what would you want me to commit to giving toward missions in this next year? In fact, in your bulletin is a card like this. It's a faith promise card, meaning out of faith, talking with Jesus. What would he want me to commit to giving in this next year? This is a tool for you and the Lord, and I want you to think that through and even sign it, because there's something about making a commitment. And I also would say that if you have not been giving to the Great Commission Fund, that's the fund that helps them do what they do best, I want to just challenge, I'd love to see five new commitment cards. People who haven't been giving to say, I'm in. We're going to start giving to this on a regular basis because we want to see all of Jesus for all the world. And so take that card, detach it, and you can put it in the offering box that's in the back. That's where we give our offerings. In fact, Lynn and Michelle, you guys can just wave right there. See, they're modeling where the box is right there. Just stick it in there today or next Sunday, and we want to see more people step in, lean in with what God's doing in that way. So that's love, pray, give, send. We are a sending church that sends people. We got the Poormans. We got the Warners coming right around the corner. We got Ezra and Daisy coming around the corner after that. And we've got other partnerships that we've got. We've sent others around the world. We're a church that sends and go. That's our last verb. We go on short-term trips, and God may tap some of you on the shoulder this week, some of us, and say, I want you to go. I want you to consider that maybe this is the time you hear from the Lord saying, I want you to be one who prepares well and who goes for a long period of time to go overseas to a different place or even somewhere here in the United States. So those are our five verbs. We want to just lead into that this week. So that was one note. And then another note is we want to bless our international workers who come this week. So this family and then the Dresslers with a love offering. And so I just want to encourage you anytime this week to set aside a little something to put it in the offering box and label it love offering. If it's not labeled that, we won't know to give it to them specifically. So if it's a check or if it's in an envelope, and we will total all that up and we'll divide it at the end of the week or as it trickles in the next 2-3 weeks. And we'll send it to them, and it'll be just a real blessing for them as they are spending their whole time here. In fact, I got to give this family props. They were in Puerto Rico where it's warm, and they decided to come to Pennsylvania for us, and then they're flying back on Thursday. So, we got to give them some props. And without further ado, I want to invite you guys to come. Come on up, Oscar. So let's welcome him. This is my friend, Oscar, and I love being able to introduce him like that. I met Oscar and Charlotte and the family 2 years ago. Our church here was gracious enough to give me and Lisette the support to go down and minister to the team there. It was our first time going to Uruguay. We didn't know what to expect. And we met these families and spoke at their annual retreat, and we fell in love with them. And Bruce and Stephanie Beers, who were down there as the team leaders, have now retired, have come back home. We thought, what do we do now with this love and partnership that we've had with the Beers for all these years? And I mean Bruce and Stephanie Beers, not, you know what I'm saying. and with this Uruguay team, and we said, let's just adopt them all. So we did, and you'll see their pictures on the wall by the water fountain right outside there, and this family is one of them. And I realized I need to do something really quick. I need to dismiss the kids. I wanted them to be in here for this time, but now they're looking in the back. They're like, Steve, remember, send out the kids ages 5 through 5th grade. You guys can go down to your classes, and we got cool stuff for you all week long, so keep coming back. But Oscar, we are thrilled to have you here and ready for you to bring the word to us this morning. And we'd love to just like hear you greet us in Espanol, mi amigo.
Claro, okay? Claro.
Yes. Okay. Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Dios les bendiga. Y estamos muy contentos de estar acá compartiendo con ustedes. That's it.
Did you say sit or that's it?
That's it.
Okay.
But you can sit. I mean, you're welcome to if you want. So we also, after their visit, fell in love with them, so we are keeping them as a team as well. So that's how this is working, right? So, it's a privilege, it's an honor, a blessing to be here with my family, representing my family, representing Puerto Rico, representing the many Latinos that are serving within the U.S. Alliance, especially with Alliance missions. So it's wonderful to collaborate in what God is doing around the world. So this morning, I would like to first show you a few slides to sort of introduce ourselves and what we do in Uruguay. And then, if you allow me, I would like to preach from the Word of God. So if you see that, a picture that we took recently. My name is Oscar, Charlotte, my wife, Sofia, and Sara. And like we said, we come from the Puerto Rico district, and we're serving in Uruguay. So in the next slide, you'll see the flag, Uruguayan flag, and also for those of you that maybe do not remember or recognize where Uruguay is located in South America, right between Argentina and Brazil. So Uruguay is between these huge countries, right? And right there, unassuming, very quiet, sits Uruguay, the country that we now call home. So in the next one, you see a closer picture of the map. And we live right, I don't know if you can see Montevideo. Yeah, right in the south by the Rio de la Plata. And so we are surrounded by that beautiful coastline that goes all around that part of the country. Right now, it's summer down there. And when we go back in the first week of March, the girls will be starting classes. Sophia will be starting college there. She's staying with us. And Sara will be starting seventh grade. And our students in the seminary will be also starting the school year that runs from March through December. In the next picture, you can see in the next slide, that's a Montevideo sign. It's a place where many tourists stop to take their picture. You can see it's a beautiful rambla that I think it's like 20 kilometers that you can go by it, and people like to run and walk over there. So Uruguay, as you can see, has about 3.5 million people, which is actually more like the same population of Puerto Rico. And it's about 1.5 times the size of Pennsylvania. The spoken language is Spanish, so in that case, for us, you know, we didn't have to go through all that process of learning a new language, although there are always some words and things that you learn with the culture, but But yeah, they speak Spanish, and that capital city of Montevideo, where they say that about half of the population is located. So it's a big city, but it's really it feels like a small city. Everybody knows each other, and that's a really fun and cool place to be. And then in the next one, you can see three very different pictures of Uruguay. As you can see, the middle of the city, very urban. That's one of the biggest avenues and more main avenues in Montevideo. You can see also the part of the coast and the many apartment buildings that you see there. But most of Uruguay is like the one to the right. Most of the country of Uruguay is like that. When we travel 7 hours, when we go from Montevideo to the city of Rivera in the north, that's most of what we see. Okay, plain fields and cows. They actually say that there's about 3 cows per person in Uruguay. So you can imagine what that means in terms of the diet, right? And I'm very happy about that. But also in Uruguay, we see how about 50% of the people identify as non-religious. Like religion is just not something that has been in the center or in people's minds. It's something like for the somebody's private lives, but not really something that will affect the culture. And about a little less than 10% identify as evangelicals. So you can imagine there's a lot of work for us to do there just to be present, and how we're singing this idea of all of Jesus for all the world, where there are many, many Uruguayans that haven't heard about Jesus, or at least they haven't heard the real gospel, and that's part of the reasons why we're there. So in the next one, you can see one of our areas of ministry is supporting local churches, especially through leadership development, and that's the church Encuentro de Esperanza, where we have been serving for the past 4 years. Randy and Alicia are here. We were able to be team with them and to follow their leadership for some time, for a little more than 2 years, and then we were able to step in into a similar position, and we were able to mentor this couple, graduates from the seminary, Fernando, and a few months ago, he was actually named pastor of Encuentro Esperanza. So that's a huge blessing and a lot of satisfaction for us to see all that process go into naming a local Uruguayan pastor for that church. And then in the next slide, you can see our seminary students. That's the group that we traveled to Rivera to teach, the in-person group. We also have an online classes, but that's the in-person group. And we have, in the past 4 years, we've graduated about 17 people, and more than half of those are already serving in different churches in pastoral positions, becoming like the next generation of pastors for the local CMA Alliance. So it's an honor to be with them, to meet them. So pray for them as they think about next steps. Some of those faces you see there are already thinking, okay, what's next? They're graduating. They're considering ministry or different, how the callings that they have in their lives. So pray for them in that process and for us as we mentor them well. So, here we go. All of Jesus for all the world. So that's just a little glimpse of why we're there and what we do. Tomorrow night, we'll get to share a little bit more about that. And again, at the end, we're going to be at the table in the back. So feel free to come and ask us about what we do in Uruguay. So when we talk about missions, our minds almost immediately go to those texts that we emphasize or that we say that there's this call to go and preach the gospel, to bear witness of the good news. And rightly so, because after all, there are several moments in the New Testament when we find Jesus sending the disciples and by extension sending us in what we call the Great Commission. We might think of Matthew 28 when he says, go and make disciples of every nation, of all the nations. Or maybe John 19 when he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Or even Acts 1 when he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. But if we pay close attention to the whole biblical narrative, we see God has always been inviting people to be part of what he's doing. So it's not a new thing. Even in creation, God gives humanity a task, a responsibility to care for the earth, to manage earth, creation. Later, we find God calling specific people like Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Elijah, David, and Jeremiah, John the Baptist, and then a young woman named Mary. In the miracle of the incarnation, God not only calls humanity, but becomes one, becomes a human, one of us. So by the time we hear these callings, this great commission, it should not come as a surprise. God has always been on a mission. After all, it's not the mission of the church. It's not the mission of the Garcia Maltes. It's not even the mission of the Alliance. It's the mission of God. And we have the privilege and the responsibility to participate in it. But it is also important to realize that this call does not arise in a vacuum, but comes as a result of an encounter with God. That first calling that we should hear and respond to is a calling to God himself, to meet God, because that encounter changes our lives. It transforms us. It saves us. It forgives us. It heals us. It restores us. It brings us back home. And when we meet Jesus, our lives are never the same. Our decisions start changing. Our plans, our priorities change. Have you had that encounter? Do you remember that encounter or those encounters? If not, I pray that you get to hear Jesus calling you, come to me. Come to me. But it doesn't end there. In that meeting, Jesus, in that encounter, Jesus says, follow me. Right? And nobody says follow me unless they are going somewhere and doing something, right? It doesn't make sense to say follow me and then stay still. Jesus is doing something. He's going somewhere. And he's inviting every one of us. Hey, come with me. Follow me. And that's for everyone. So it means that from that point on, we get to go where Jesus is going and do what Jesus is doing. And for our family, that following Jesus has taken us to Uruguay, a place where people love to get together and eat delicious grilled meat, the famous asados, and drink mate. A very stable country in many ways, economically, politically, but also a country with the lowest percentage of evangelicals, Christians, in all of the Americas. That's why we're there. That's where we're going. The theme of this year's missions conference, like we already said, is all of Jesus for all the world. Because in the Alliance, in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we are very serious about Jesus. We emphasize that everything has to do with Jesus. Because the Christian faith is not primarily about ideas. It's not primarily about theological affirmations, but about a person. And how that person reveals to us the God who has always been in search of what had been lost. Relentless. not stopping. All of Jesus, his words, his actions, his way of approaching people, his death, his resurrection, his kingdom, his promise for the whole world. Just like we sung, God loves the whole world. And he wants everyone to get to know him, to hear his call. So today I would like to invite you to consider a passage in the Gospels that I think shows this uniqueness of Jesus and the reason why we say all of Jesus for all the world. And I'm going to be reading in Matthew 17, the first 8 verses. This might be a familiar story to some. It may be new to others. But I ask you to listen to this story, to read with me this story. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And to pay attention to how this story presents Jesus. Matthew 17, verse 1 says, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the 2 brothers, James and John, and took them to a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed to such an extent that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began to converse with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it is wonderful that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tabernacles as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He had not finished speaking when a bright cloud covered them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, who gives me great joy. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell on their faces to the ground. Then Jesus came to them and touched them. "Get up," he told them. "Do not be afraid." When they looked up, Moses and Elijah had disappeared, and they saw only Jesus. Several things happen in this scene, and they are all aimed at emphasizing this uniqueness of Jesus. The first thing that we're told is that he took 3 of these closest disciples to this mountain, and while there, his appearance changed, transformed. It says his face shone like the sun, and his clothes were white, bright white as light. This scene might make us remember another scene back in the Old Testament in Exodus, when Moses is in a mountain and he is brave enough to ask God, "Show me your glory. Oof. Show me your glory." And on that occasion, God tells Moses his face could not be seen. But then he says, "I will allow you to see my back." Now, there's a lot of symbolism there, right? We won't get into it fully, but it seems to be a limit to what Moses could see. To the glory of God, to what Moses at that point could stand. So he gets to see the back. But now, we're back in the mountain, and things have changed. Now in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, in the face of Jesus, God decides to show his glory. Maybe like never before. Because like the Apostle John says in John 1, no one has seen God. But the Son, that's the one that has revealed God to us. And if we're honest, if we put ourselves in the disciples' shoes, as they were following Jesus, it might have been difficult sometimes for them to know if Jesus was the real one. I mean, he was not necessarily what you would expect of a king, right? Of a great warrior, a great liberator. And sometimes maybe they would see him the way he talked, the way he responded, the way people talked to him, like, ah, is this the one? Or should we look for another one? And even in our lives, if we're honest, there might be times that we are so confident that Jesus is the one. Oh, I'm so sure. I have no doubts. But then there come times that we face difficulty, maybe even danger, or where prayers are not answered, or at least not in the way we were expecting them. When our lives seem to get out of control, when we wake up to a world in constant conflict, divisiveness, the darkness seems to be winning, we might ask, is Jesus really the one? But God longs for us to have that encounter with him in which we get even a glimpse of his glory, so that our faith is strengthened, that we can continue, we can go on and tell the world Jesus is the one. And I believe God allowed these disciples to have that glimpse of his glory for that very reason. In many places in the Bible, we see the promise of that the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And that's our hope for the future. That's our hope for Uruguay. That's our hope for the world, for it to be filled with the glory of God. And we believe it starts with people having access to see and to hear Jesus, to hear his words. And that's why we are there in Uruguay, joining what Jesus is doing in this mission of making himself known. That's why we collaborate with the already established national church in church planting initiatives, in Christian education, in leadership development with the seminary, theological education, and all of that to strengthen those churches and to partner with them. Back to the story, Matthew continues saying that Moses and Elijah were there. What? They're conversing, they're talking with Jesus. And it is worth mentioning that both men had been dead for quite some time. And I really love that Matthew doesn't even prepare us for that. He's not like, you won't believe this, but no. He's like, as a matter of fact, Moses and Elijah was there. Like it was the most normal thing. These two men, Moses and Elijah, had been very important people in the history of Israel. Like founding people, founding members of Israel, voices that people had to listen to, stories that people had to know, people to emulate, people to follow. They had experienced and done incredible things, these two. Some think that they might even represent here what we call the law and the prophets, right? Moses as the law and Elijah as a representative of the prophets. It's the Bible's Hall of Fame. And seating them there, Peter comes up with this great idea. Jesus, why don't we make shelters for each of you, memorials? It's wonderful that we're here. Let's stay here. Let's stay. Please don't make us go back. Please don't make us go down the mountain. You know what? Because down the mountain, things get difficult. Here, things make sense. We're seeing the glory. We even have some of our heroes here. Here, we're good. Let's stay. Who wouldn't want to freeze a moment like that? And same thing with us sometimes. We get to experience things with God, and we're like, please don't let this end. Don't let this moment go. Can I stay here? Can we freeze this moment? And we know the answer. In a little while, Jesus will tell them, let's go. They won't stay there. Because our God is a God on the move. Scott McKnight says about this passage, he says, anyone who stops and wants to turn a particular moment into a monument, as the disciples did when Jesus was transfigured before them, will soon be wondering where God has gone. What he desires is that from those moments, we are shaped, we are formed, we are strengthened in such a way that when we face the realities of this world, we face them informed by the gospel, informed by the glory of God. Yes, we need to go down the mountain again. But wait, there's more. As Peter is saying that, something else happens that may transport us also to different scenes in the Old Testament, a cloud that covers them. In many places, that was an experience of the presence of God, the presence of the Lord. Suddenly, they see nothing. And now they get a little uncomfortable. And then we are told that they are filled with fear. They're face down. Let's not lose track of what's happening here. It all started with what the disciples saw. The glory of Jesus, the glory of God in the face of Jesus, Moses, Elijah. But now as they are covered with this cloud, it seems that it's not anymore about what they can see, but about what they don't see. For a brief moment, it seems like they lose sight of Jesus. That's scary. Think about when you're driving and there's fog and how, you know, low visibility, how difficult is that? I've had that experience. I had it in Uruguay one time, driving from Rivera to Montevideo very early in the morning, and it was scary. I thought about just going back and wait because it was very scary. You cannot see what's in front of you. And we also use it as a metaphor for when we are confused, right? So where things are uncertain, like a mental fog. I don't know if you can relate, but I've had times in my life where I felt like that. Like I couldn't think clearly. When I lost sight of Jesus, even as a pastor, as an international worker, as a seminary professor, circumstances like health crisis, devastating loss, conflict, unexpected changes that created that huge cloud around me, leaving me uncertain about what to do, where to go. And it is in those moments I'm convinced that the one thing we need is to be able to hear the voice of God. When nothing else makes sense, what we see is not helping us, we need to hear the voice of God. And if you happen to find yourself in a moment like that, I pray that you can cry out to God and ask for that voice of heaven to speak to you. And that's exactly what happens in the text. It is said that a voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, who gives me great joy." We had heard those words before, remember? When Jesus is baptized, right? Similar voice from heaven, "This is my Son, this is the one." And God here once again is like saying, don't forget. I know sometimes it might seem you may have doubt. This is still the one. Nothing has changed. This is the one. But then it adds something else. It says, listen to him. Listen to him. Because throughout history, the people of Israel, there were many important voices, like Moses and Elijah and many others. Voices to listen. But now, here in Jesus, there is a voice like no other. It is no longer a voice representing God, but the very voice of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And it is through Jesus that we read and interpret the whole biblical narrative. It changes everything. And throughout our lives, we also may have had important people, important voices that have influenced the way we think, the way we see the world, the way we see ourselves. And I'm sure that if I give you 10 seconds, you can immediately think of a few of those words that, for better or worse, formed the way you saw yourself, the world, even God. We all have that. And every country has that. Voices that throughout history have said things that have shaped the way people think. And they continually, these voices, they are continually fighting for our attention and our allegiance. Those many voices might end up creating a cloud around us of uncertainty, leaving us confused. Who to believe? Where do I go? Who should I listen to? And in the midst of that multiplicity of voices, the voice of heaven continues to say, even today, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. In the midst of that cloud that can bring confusion, the voice of heaven reminds us of what is truly important. All those voices might be important. All those voices might need to have an audience. But we need to remember what's the one voice that we should pay attention to. Listen to him, because Jesus is still speaking. It's not about what Jesus said. It's not only about what Jesus said. It's what Jesus continues to say today to every one of us. Listen to him, because Jesus is the Word of God. Listen to him, because as Peter says on another occasion, only you have words of life, words of salvation, of hope, of truth. So we need to be able to hear the voice of Jesus, to know him so that his words informs our lives more than any other voice. That's what is important to Jesus. That what is important to Jesus becomes important to us. That the truth of Jesus' word defeat all the lies that we hear. And that Jesus' deep love for us would tear down all those messages that makes us think that God is angry, disappointed, frustrated, and far from us. Our world needs to hear the voice of Jesus talking today. And that is the greatest treasure that we have to share. That's why we're in Uruguay. In Uruguay, as we can say of any country, for many reasons, there have been voices throughout its history saying, God is not important. We don't need anything like that. We can figure it out ourselves. But in midst of all of that, Jesus is still speaking. The voice of heaven is still saying, listen to him. Listen to him. And when I think about Uruguay, our prayer is that in midst of all that, Uruguayans get to hear the voice of God. Even in the midst of that cloud of confusion, of uncertainty, there is evidence of people looking for something, asking questions. And that's why we need to be there, to hear those questions, to be able to embrace them in those doubts, and to point them to Jesus. Well, we get to the final part of the story. Whew, this is going to be good. Listen carefully. Jesus approaches the disciples, who happen to be terrified, face down to the ground, and he touches them. Can you imagine that relief? Because the way I picture it, like they lost sight of Jesus. They don't know what's going on. They hear this voice, they're afraid, and then all of a sudden they feel a hand. And they know that hand. Because they have been touched by that hand before. And he says, get up. Don't be afraid. And when they get up, they open their eyes. He says that Moses and Elijah were gone. The cloud dissipated. And Matthew ends with the following words. They saw only Jesus. They saw only Jesus. You know where I'm going, right? There has to come a moment in our lives, or actually many moments, when we hear the voice of God in such a way that the confusion goes away. That all the other important voices are silenced. And that when we open our eyes, we see only Jesus. And that's why we exist as a church. To know Jesus, to experience the transformative power of the gospel, and to go and live out its implications, and to tell the world that our only hope is in Him. Because for us, it's not just about, oh, we don't like those statistics. Let's do something so that those statistics change. Now, we know statistics are important, but what we really want and what God is longing for are changed lives, transformed lives, histories, families. And that's why we're there. That is our prayer for our world. For Puerto Rico, for the U.S., for Uruguay, and for all the world. That is why we say that all of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. Because some of us will stay here and continue ministering close to where you are. Or maybe even, I mean, the U.S. is a big place. So it might take you somewhere else or a different country. It takes all of us to go to all the world and to point people to Jesus. So may we embrace God's mission in such a way that our world can finally hear the voice of God, open their eyes, and that every person would stand up and see only Jesus. Amen. Pray. Dear God, as we reflect in this passage, this encounter, I see so much of our lives and the world. And our need to meet you in the mountain, to see a glimpse of your glory, even if at some point it's a little scary, but that we get to be touched by you and that we can listen to your words. Don't be afraid. It's okay. That we can open our eyes and that we can see only you. We pray for our world and for the privilege that you have given us to join you in being witnesses of that moment when people get to see you and to walk with them as their lives are transformed. I ask that you would speak to us and continue speaking to us, and that we will be brave enough to follow you, wherever you're going and whatever you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just stay in this moment for a bit longer. And God is here. He's in our midst. I loved what you said, brother. If we need to see Jesus as not having only spoken in the past, his words are still living and active today, and he's still speaking to us. And I wonder, are you hearing the voice of Jesus today? And what would it look like if we could just take a moment and listen? And my specific prayer would be that Jesus would highlight something in each of our hearts that he has already said in his word, but that we need to remember and hear today. this risen, glorious Savior who loves us. And so, Oscar, maybe we could just take a time, we could listen, and I want to encourage you to listen. What is Jesus saying to you? And then perhaps, Oscar, you and I could listen to the Holy Spirit, and as he would highlight something Jesus said in his word, maybe we can just recall a verse that maybe will be something that you hear from the Lord as well this morning. So let's just go into a posture of just listening. We want this all of Jesus. So Jesus, we want to hear you. We need you. And a word that you speak to us is worth more than 1,000 words we can hear from anybody else. So will you bring to our mind, to our heart, something that you have spoken in the past that you want to say to us fresh and anew today? And so, Lord, we wait, we listen. Give us your words. I have in my heart is Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If someone remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
Persecuted, for the pure in heart, that's the kingdom of God.
Grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus is enough for us. He's sufficient for all of our needs.
I think when Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you?
Yeah, so Lord, our eyes are upon you. Continue to minister to us and speak to us. Lord, there is no missions week. There is no missionary apart from you, the living Savior. Lord, we need you. We confess that we need you. Each one of us, our church needs you. Fill us, Lord. We receive you as our Savior. We receive you as our Lord. We receive you as the one who has the words of life, who has everything that we need. And so, Lord, would you breathe your life into us this week? breathe hope into us this week. Revive us this week, that we might take all of Jesus to all the world.